It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
And welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time, that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, May the 13th, and it's Mother's Day, and we are back in beautiful Austin, Texas, in our Austin studio. Mark Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment and producer of this program is here with us to make the show run. And we have another great program in store for you this evening. In a little while after the break, we'll be joined from San Diego by Chief Executive Officer of the Henson Consulting Group to talk about her new book, Jungle, A Journey to Peace, Purpose, and Freedom. Cindy Henson will be joining us, and she'll perhaps give us a little insight about how we can discover our gifts and our talents to transform the world. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with her about that. And then later in the program, musician and producer of this program, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, will join us on this side of the microphone to talk about some upcoming musical events in the Austin area. And along the way, I will talk about self-compassion. And throughout this evening's show, we will have time to take your questions. If you have any questions for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And be sure that you call or email with your questions while the guest is still on the air so that she can answer them. And if you can hear this evening's program again, if you'd like, by going to my website, and the link to the podcast along with any website links that we talk about on the program will be posted there later tonight. And you can also hear the podcast in as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from previous shows, and to listen to previous programs, read my blog, find out about my book, watch videos, all of that can be done at my website, drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear all of the previous programs that we have done on Blog Talk Radio by going directly to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And if you want to find out about any information or coming news, any blogs that come out, news about my book that will be out this summer, and to hear about upcoming shows, follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and my other Facebook page is more focused on the book, so follow me there as well, and that is The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website at heroesnightout.org. Do you want to contact me? Do you have a question that you want to ask me or some information that you want me to know about? My email address, once again, is drmara@drmaracarpel.com. You can also contact me through my website. Just go to my website, drmaracarpel.com, and click on contact. Or you can call me, 973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere in his memory clinic, which is located in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909 or send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. And this evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And before we go to a commercial break, I just want to wish all of the women out there a happy Mother's Day. And this goes for those of you who have done the very hard work of raising children, as well as all of the women who have nurtured the children of others, grandparents, teachers, mentors, and all of the women who have been there for their friends while their friends were raising their children, and they were there for support. And all of the women who have nurtured fur babies, dogs, cats, and have nurtured the earth and have used their time, if they haven't had children of their own, to make this world a better place in one way or another, not for the benefit of their own children, but for all of the children who are not their own. So happy Mother's Day to all of you sisters. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Cindy Henson about her new book, Jungle, A Journey to Peace, Purpose, and Freedom. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mara Carpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7999.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years, right here on drmaracarpel.com and on blogtalkradio.com. And now joining us on the phone from San Diego, we have the Chief Executive Officer of the Henson Consulting Group, and author of the new book, Jungle, A Journey to Peace, Purpose, and Freedom. Cindy Henson is joining us. Welcome, Cindy. Are you there?
Yes, I am. It's great to be on your show, Mara. Thank you.
Yes, just so you know, just a brief reminder that there's a slight delay when we talk like this. So sometimes if people don't know that, it can be off-putting. So I'm letting you know. So thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you, Mara. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I understand that you just launched it and it's already doing great.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
That's great. Good luck. And I think that the fact that it's doing so well really speaks to how important this topic is to many people. So I'm excited to have this chance to talk to you about it. Why don't we start, Cindy, with a little bit about your background, if you can tell our listeners a little bit about your history.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Thank you. Yeah, I worked in corporate for 22 years as an IT executive, and I, like a lot of people that work 60, 70 hours a week, was a modern employee. And when technology, of course, came along and we were available 24/7, I worked even more hours. And there was a point in time about 15 years ago that my body shut down completely. So while my mind was doing extraordinarily well and loving my corporate job, my body wasn't loving it. And as I got sick and was out on disability for 5 months, all I wanted to do, Meryl, was to get back to work. I figured I could just problem solve my way through this, project manage my way through this, all the tools that I'd always used so well in my life actually didn't work this time, and actually discovered that that I was soul sick, that I wasn't taking care of my body, and that my soul had not caught up to where I was in my life, and so I quit corporate and moved to Costa Rica, the jungles of Costa Rica, and attended the United Nations University for Peace. And was with people from 39 countries, which is an amazing experience of differences and working through issues that arose based on our backgrounds and our cultures and our beliefs and our religions. And we're about as different as you could be from each other. And I, as a mature student of 45, and most of my colleagues being grad students in their 20s, that was also interesting. But what I really discovered during that time and was able to bring back home to the States was that by taking care of my mind, body, and spirit, that I could actually create a profession or earn a living by contributing all the gifts and talents that I had. And so I began a consulting firm when I returned home that was focused entirely on leaders and organizations making a positive difference in the world. And for me, that was government agencies, NGOs, nonprofits, and triple bottom line corporations: people, planet, profit.
Right. Okay. So let me ask you a question. You know, what led you to go to Costa Rica and go back to school?
I began
meditating. That's a
pretty
big leap.
It was a huge leap. Yeah, and I was very scared. And, you know, I was probably like a lot of your listeners that was on the corporate plan or on the plan for my life to retire early at 55 with a healthy 401k. And I just really needed to get there. And so at 45, it was 10 years too early. And so, I was very afraid. But I began meditating during this time while I was really sick, because I really did not think I was going to live through it. And you start to do things that you would never normally do. And for me, I hadn't done any meditation. But I began meditating, and in my meditation, I had these occurrences, three different occurrences in a three-week period of time about the United Nations University for Peace in Costa Rica. How bizarre is that? And, of course, I wanted to ignore all of those signs, And then really discover that, gosh, you know, if you're going to meditate and ask for signs, you really ought to pay attention to them. So I applied to the school.
Okay. So it really came to you in meditation. That's pretty wild. So we'll get to the book in just a moment. So what do you do? What is your consulting group? What do you do in your consulting group?
Mostly executive coaching and executive workshops. I facilitate retreats, really focusing in on the executive as the leverage for their organization. Because what I've discovered is that how the executive goes is how the organization goes. And if the belief system at the executive level or executive team level is one of employees are just resources to be used and used up, then in fact that's what will happen, and they will have turnover and people won't be satisfied and they won't love their life. And so I spend a lot of time with executives helping them understand that all the people that work for them want to be engaged. They want to be joyful in their work. Nobody comes to work to do a bad job. And so the question becomes, what are the beliefs, what are the systems, what are the processes that are in place that are hindering that type of employee engagement so that we can put new system processes in place that actually inspire employees?
Okay. So now, what led you to write this book? The jungle.
What I discovered in the last, I would say probably about 5 years ago, I really became aware that not only were my clients, but a lot of my colleagues in the same boat I had found myself in 10 years earlier. And so one of the things that I wanted to do when I got home from Costa Rica, having had this epiphany and experience and realize that I could actually have a joyful life in addition to working, that they could actually coexist, was I really wanted to bottle that up and give it to people as some kind of magic potion. And because, you know, let's face it, most people can't quit their job and go to Costa Rica for a year, which, you know,
right.
I was very fortunate to be able to do. And so my hope is that this book takes readers on a journey and asks the similar kinds of questions that I wound up asking myself through my own resistance, but hopefully to make some same discoveries or similar discoveries about themselves from the comfort of their couch, because they can read the book. And at the end of each chapter are a series of dear reader reflective questions. And so my hope is that as people read the book, that if they're not their life or not in love with their career or both or either, that that they can start asking themselves some questions in a comfortable and safe way inside their own mind. And then choose to take action if they wish. But if they don't, that's fine too. But I just find that it begins with the exploration. And I would just love it if people could have that opportunity prior to having a health crisis or a relationship crisis or a career crisis.
Right. that would be preferable. So who is this book for? Who did you write it for?
I wrote it for anybody that finds themselves in a overtired, overworked, maybe not loving their life or their career right now. The recent Gallup poll actually said that there was only 27% of American workers believe that they are filled with joy about their work and that they're contributing all they can do and all their potential. 27%. So there's 73% of the people that are not giving everything that they have in a way that feels as though it's contributing to their life. And so I wrote it for those folks.
Right. So, you know, people are just going to work because they have to make a living, I guess, for the most part. So, you know, in your book, you talk about the seven principles of peace, purpose, and freedom. Maybe you can talk a little bit about those principles without giving away the whole book.
Sure. So the first principle is to tap into your fun quotient. What I've also discovered, and you just alluded to it, Mara, is if people are just going to work because they have to for the paycheck, that's not very fun. It's a forced obligation to take care of their responsibilities and obligations. I'm not suggesting at all that people shouldn't do that. What I'm suggesting is maybe there's a way to actually fulfill those obligations and those responsibilities in a way that is more fun for them. And generally that's around being able to contribute your own gifts in a workplace setting. And that could be in a team. It could be the kind of work you do. It could be that you just like to learn. Whatever it is, you know, how can it merge in with you and the gift that you have to bring the world?
Right. And I have a question about that. So have you found that when, or do you see that when people are having more fun in their job, that they're even more productive and may even make more income?
I do find that. And sometimes even, and this is kind of an anathema to executives, sometimes employees just say, well, gosh, this place isn't really for me. I need to go somewhere else where I can have more fun and contribute who I really am. And they frequently find that they do make more money. They just didn't imagine that it was possible. And I'm not saying that people have to leave. I'm just saying that that's the opposite of what people think, which is I have to stay here. I have to grind it out. And in fact, when the executives open the door to more fun and more joy in work, what I've discovered, and it could just be really easy, simple things. A short while ago, we did a really fun warm-up in this group, and we asked everybody, what was your first concert and where was it and how old were you? Oh, my gosh. You know, the button-down executive accountant, you know, went to Def Leppard. And everybody started laughing, right, because it's so opposite of how they see him at work. So it just really got the mood completely shifted into really the smart brain so that actually people can be more creative at work and not in a fight, flight, or freeze kind of arrangement.
That's interesting. Okay. All right. Some of the other of the seven principles.
Yeah. I'll just hit on a few of them.
Okay.
One of the things that I discovered in going through and winding up in the jungle was that I actually had to dig into my past and resolve some issues that I had from my childhood. And, you know, not everybody needs to do that. I realize that. But I also started to realize that my need for approval and my need for care and love translated directly from my childhood into my work. And so the need and the drive of working 70 hours a week was partially for achievement, and I enjoyed it, and I was contributing to people, but partially I was looking for approval. And once I realized that that's what was going on, I had a new choice to make. You know, could I actually give myself the approval that I needed and not have to work myself to death? So I think resolving past issues is really, really important for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, as a psychologist, I can certainly see that. Yeah.
I bet. Well, and as a psychologist, I bet you can also really appreciate with your clients that, you know, you want them to find what's important to them and what their passion is and what their purpose is in life so that they can contribute.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's what this whole show is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So helping people find their passion. So, yeah, no, that's really important. And you know, I'm not in the corporate world, so that's why I'd ask you that question. You know, do you actually see people actually, you know, earning more money? Because, you know, everybody's concerned that if they follow their dream and their calling, that they're somehow going to lose out financially. And it sounds mm-hmm. like it's the opposite of that.
Well, I think what happens for us, and I experienced it myself, and I also see it in some of my clients, is because they can't imagine over to the next, you know, past the change that's sitting in front of them to the next place, that all they're left with is their past thinking about how they earned a living. And until you can start to move into action and start taking some action, can you start to see or imagine that the future actually could even be brighter? You just can't imagine it yet because it hasn't happened in the past. And if you don't have the eyes to see it or the ears to hear it yet, it doesn't exist for you. So what exists is simply what had happened in the past, which is, I have to do this drudge job for this amount of money.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, also, do you find that the American work ethic plays into this, where people believe that if they're not really working hard and hating it, then they're, you know, that they're really not doing as much as they could possibly do to make a living?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I just read a study last night that said, you know, we might be on a crash course with ourselves in America because now even the millennials have taken on the work martyrdom by the number of hours that they're taking for vacation each year, that it was about 19 days. So 19 days was the average vacation time that people in the U.S. were taking about 12 years ago. And now, whereas of last year, they were taking more in the category of 16 and a half days, I think it was. So it was already down just in 10 years. And then the article said that, in fact, because half of the current work population in the U.S. is millennials, that by inference that the millennials have now adopted the martyrdom approach that unfortunately they learned from us.
Right. That, you know, there it's a virtue to work really, really hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned before about the triple bottom line and that you work with the corporations that have the triple bottom line. Can you explain that? What is that? And
Sure. So everybody knows that business is frequently in business, the measure is earnings per share for shareholders. And if it's a publicly traded company, then, you know, Wall Street contributes to the idea that no matter what, you need to hit these numbers, these financial numbers, so profit numbers. what I'm talking about and what several companies, particularly in a book called Firms of Endearment in Conscious Capitalism, talks about, look, the finances are actually the output or the outcome of how you are using all your resources. It's people, so taking care of the people that work for you, taking care of your customers, taking care of your community, doing good with the environment. All of those pieces play in and result in a financial result. So it's a completely different equation. So when you focus on people and planet before profit, and you do it in such a way that it engages all the right stakeholders and people are committed to actually something much bigger than a profit motive, suddenly you're in the sphere that I'm talking about. There are a lot of conscious companies that are doing this these days. Whole Foods, Costco, Southwest Airlines, just to name a few, and anybody that uses these products or services know that there's something just slightly different about them, slightly different than some of their competitors, and you start to say, what is that? Well, that's the piece that we're talking about. That's the mm-hmm. piece where, you know, you buy something, you feel cared for as a consumer or as a customer. You feel like you're part of their family. They take care of you. I travel a lot. I in the U.S., only travel Southwest Airlines for that very reason. And I will take two hops on a plane, which is, instead of a direct flight that I could get on another airline potentially, because I want to be with Southwest Airlines. Why? Because they take care of me. If something mm-hmm. arises, I know they'll take care of it, and I don't have to worry about it. I just feel like they care for me. And if I'm going to spend money over here or I'm going to spend money over there, I'm going to spend it in a place that that is aligned with my own personal values. The same kind of thing at Costco, and how they mm-hmm. are known for how they work with their suppliers and, you know, their organic food and how they take care of their suppliers. They don't mm-hmm. squeeze every dime out of them. So those are the kinds of things in a corporation that really start to turn the tables in a different direction.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned Costco, because I remember when I joined Costco, I had gone to one of the competitors that same day, and then I went into Costco, and the atmosphere was so different. The employees were actually smiling. Like, everybody mm-hmm. looked happy who worked there, and that alone made me feel comfortable in wanting to join in and shop there.
Right.
You know, that makes a difference. I joined that day.
Yeah, perfect. That's a perfect example, Mara, because that's exactly what I'm talking about, because those employees are treated extremely well. And, you know, if any of your listeners are interested in diving into the book Firms of Endearment, which is around conscious capitalism, Costco is one of the examples in there. And they talk about how they have not moved all of their jobs to half-time so they don't have to pay benefits. No, they pay benefits. Even
mm-hmm.
if people are part-time, it's a difference. It's
right.
a different way to think about employees.
Mm-hmm. And they are closed on holidays.
Yes.
You know, some customers might not like that, but I appreciate that, you know, the people who work there deserve to have the holiday off as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So
it points to their value system compared to, I could make more money if I stayed open this day, which everybody knows would be true. But their value system says, no, it's more important for us to take care of our employees and let them have opportunity to be with their families.
Right, which all contributes to them smiling more when they're there and you feeling more comfortable shopping there.
Exactly. It doesn't sound like rocket science, does it?
No. So if there was one piece of advice that you would give to listeners before we go, what would that be?
It would be that I believe that every person comes into this life with gifts and talents, and that as they develop them through their life and become more and more successful or able to contribute in society and use those same skills and talents to earn a living for their families and themselves, that I believe we all deserve to work in organizations that value that. And if people find themselves in an organization or in a place that does not value that, I would encourage them very strongly to either help change that culture within the organization you're in by asking questions, by making suggestions, and if you're in leadership roles, by actually making changes in policies and processes. But if you're an employee, I want you to know that you deserve better than to be treated just as a number or treated as a resource. You deserve better than that. And so I would want people to know that there are places out there that actually would value you. It's all about looking and finding and believing that that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I see a trend. It's slower than I'd like it to be, but I think it's the right trend going in the direction of conscious capitalism and caring about people and the planet as well as the profit.
I'm glad. That sounds very optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear that. So Cindy, if people are interested in learning about your consulting, learning more about you, learning about your book, or purchasing your book, or if they want to contact you, how can they do all of that?
I'm at HensonConsultingGroup.com. It's HENSON Consulting Group, 2 G's in the middle, .com. And you can buy the book on Amazon. It's in paperback and in Kindle version. It's called Jungle, A Journey to Peace, Purpose, and Freedom. You can also click on it on my website, and it'll take you to the Amazon site. And you can get in contact with me through my website as well at HensonConsultingGroup.com.
Okay, great. So I'm going to post the link to the website and also a link to your book on my web post about this show later this evening. So if people didn't have their pen and paper ready, they can just go and look on my website later, and they can just click on the link, and it'll take them right to your website and to your Amazon page. So thank you so much again for being on the program. I think this is really important, and I'm looking forward to. I read the first chapter, and I'm looking forward to reading the rest of your book.
Thank you, Mara. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate your listeners. And I wish all of you a happy Mother's Day, and go out and enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you, and good luck with the book.
Thank you, Mara.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We have more to come, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Kartel in your golden years right here on drmarakartel.com and on blogtalkradio.com. And so before I go on to talk about the topic that I wanted to discuss tonight, just news, again, if you haven't been listening to the program or follow me on Facebook, my book is set to launch this summer. And it'll be a soft launch this summer where it'll be available on as an ebook on Kindle. And then in the fall, you'll be able to have a book in your hands, copy. It'll be a hard launch. Probably it's scheduled to be October. So stay tuned here for more information about that and more definitive dates. Also, stay tuned to my website and to my Facebook page for an upcoming blog, inspriresglobal.com. And if you haven't read any of my previous blogs, you can read them on my website, both from thriveglobal.com and from Huffington Post. And also on my website, we have videos from interviews that we have done in the office and live here in Austin. So take a look at those. All right. I think that's the news for now, and I'll keep you updated about anything new in the coming weeks. So I wanted to pick a topic. Since today is Mother's Day, I wanted to choose a topic that fit well with being in a nurturing role, whether you're a mother or a nurturer in some other way, a caregiver, a nurturer of the earth, a teacher, pet owner, mentor, friend, partner, any of these, I think, are fit with being a mother figure. And also, I wanted the topic to fit well with what Cindy Henson had just spoke about in her book. And so I decided to talk about self-compassion. And, you know, she spoke about how she needed to do this for herself to make this change in her life. And she wrote the book to help people to find their passion, if you know, in their work, rather than just going to work and working themselves to death at something that they don't really love. And so I think that all fits in with self-compassion. And very often, you know, whether it's working at a job and feeling that we have to achieve or being a nurturer or a caregiver, we forget to take care of ourselves and what really makes us feel good. And as, you know, as Cindy described, she got sick. And for caregivers, the rate of physical illness as well as emotional disturbance such as anxiety or depression tends to be higher than for the rest of the population. And that's whether you're a caregiver of an elderly parent or a partner or caregiver of a child who has a physical disability or special need, that caregivers tend to be more likely to get sick. And, you know, and mothers, I remember when I was a kid, you know, if there was a broken cookie in the box, my mother would say, "You eat the good cookie and I'll eat the broken cookie." And that's, you know, pretty much what mothers do. And I think that tends to, you know, generalize to other parts of life, and that nurturing people tend to forget to nurture themselves. So having some compassion for yourself is really important in order to stay healthy. And actually the research shows that self-compassion builds resilience for both our health and our emotional well-being. And having this resilience is really important for us to be able to continue to do our best in our life roles, in the life roles of nurturer or
you know, worker, employee, or, you know, entrepreneur, any of those roles, that we need to be resilient in order to keep being able to do those things, because if we get sick physically or emotionally, then we're not able to function at any life role. And it's also really important to have that resilience in order to be able to follow our dreams and to follow our calling, find our purpose, or find the passion in our lives. So self-compassion is really important. And what does it consist of? So in addition to the topics that I often discuss here on this program and that I write about, taking care of our health through exercise, eating right, meditating or finding some way to relax, forgiving ourselves, all of these are a part of self-compassion, but they're not the complete picture. And I wrote a little bit about this in my most recent tip, Caregivers Near and Far. According to the research that was conducted by Neff and Dom at the University of Texas, right here in Austin, Texas, self-compassion was found to consist of self-kindness. And as they said, that self-kindness is our inner dialogues about ourselves are gentle and encouraging rather than harsh and belittling. It consists of common humanity, and that is that we know that everyone fails, makes mistakes, and gets it wrong sometimes, even us, and that's okay. And mindfulness, and that is that we have a mindful awareness of our negative thoughts and emotions so that they're approached with balance and equanimity. And then we can recognize that our thoughts and feelings are just that, thoughts and feelings, helping us to drop our unquestioning belief in the storyline of our inadequate, worthless self. And so I refer to all of that, you know, that belittling, that putting ourselves down for making mistakes, and the negative where we feel worthless. I refer to all of that as negative, that inner voice in my blogs and in my book as our inner troll. So, you know, when we think of trolls these days, we usually think of bullies on the internet. And in fact, looking at those trolls on the internet, the research shows that the people who tend to be trolls on the internet are similar to those people who we might consider to be bullies in real life, whether kids who bully in school or even adult bullies. If you were to look at the personality of a troll on the internet, they're most likely a bully in real life. And the research has also found that these so-called trolls tend to use emotional issues to cause people who are involved in a discussion to appear foolish or overly emotional. So if you're on the internet and you're having a discussion with somebody about something that's very emotional to you, whether it's political or social, whatever it is, and a troll starts saying negative comments, it's usually their desire is to get you to feel foolish or to look like you're being overly emotional. And it's been found that when people who are the victims of trolling react in an emotional way, that the trolling will intensify, will get worse, just for the amusement of the troll. And, you know, they're really not interested in having a productive discussion. Their interest is deliberately angering people and breaking the normal flow of discussion that might be occurring, and deliberately being annoying for the sake of being obnoxious, and mainly to make themselves the main topic of interest or discussion. So they're really not interested in what you're talking about. Their whole goal is to get you to feel bad and for them to be the main focus. They take over the discussion. So the reason that I'm talking about trolls is that in this discussion is that you might notice that there's a similarity between these trolls on the internet and their bullying behavior and their goal of being the center of attention. There's a similarity between them and between your constant self-critical voice, which comes from your ego. So that's why I refer to the inner voice as the inner troll, because, you know, your inner voice, no matter what you do, the goal of your inner voice is to knock you down and get you to question yourself. And the ego always wants to be the center of attention. So, like Dr. Deepak Chopra wrote in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, the ego is not who you really are. It wants control and is sustained by power because it lives in fear. And Dr. Wayne Dyer wrote, causing fear is a tactic of the ego. And the ego idea has been with us ever since we began to think, he wrote. It sends us false messages about our true nature, and it leads us to make assumptions about what will make us happy, and we end up frustrated. It pushes us to promote our self-importance while we want a richer life experience, and it causes us to fall into the void of self-absorption again and again, not knowing that we need only shed the false veneer of who we are. So the ego, as I said, very much is like that troll on the internet. A couple of years ago, the human behavior coach, Beverly Flaxington, was on this program, and she said in our interview, it's our minds so often that deceive us. We say things to ourselves that tear ourselves down. The self-talk that we use on ourselves absolutely drains us. Lack of confidence and low self-esteem is typically an outgrowth of too much negative self-talk too often. So, you know, as I mentioned, as Dr. Dyer wrote, the ego makes us feel really powerful, but it's a false feeling of power because it's out of fear of that we're not worthwhile, and that negative self-talk is constantly telling us that we're not worthwhile. And so where does that come from? You know, usually that voice is the voice of people who were in our lives when we were younger, or the voice of people who are currently in our lives, maybe parents or teachers or bullies in our lives. And the author Louise Hay wrote in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, we tend to live our lives based on what we believe about ourselves, our world, our capabilities, and our limits. Where do those beliefs come from? From what other people have told us. What if they're wrong? And I would say that most of the time they are wrong. And we end up living our lives feeling like we need to work ourselves to death in order to prove that we're better than what people have told us, or that, or what we believe about ourselves. And we allow the beliefs of others to become our own. Beliefs that we're no longer relevant might be among those beliefs that, you know, now that we're older, what we have to say is less relevant, or that our dreams are no longer impossible, are no longer possible or important to fulfill. And the reality is, just because we believe it doesn't make it true. A belief is really just a thought, whether it comes from other people telling it to us enough that it becomes our own thought. Wherever it comes from, it's a thought that we think over and over again until we believe it. And some beliefs that we have help us in our lives. but others only serve to make us feel bad about ourselves or to give up on our own passion. And those beliefs, those latter beliefs, are the ones that cause us tremendous pain. And by practicing self-compassion and allowing ourselves to question those beliefs and to treat ourselves a lot better and talk to ourselves a lot better, we can be much more productive in our lives and happier in our lives. And we do have the power to change that. We can make that shift from habitual negative thinking to much more self-compassionate thinking. And when we do that, it actually has a chemical reaction in our brains. It actually changes our chemistry. And the power of that can be as strong as taking medication to make ourselves feel better. Just by shifting our thinking away from negative self-talk to more compassionate ways of thinking, that nobody's perfect and we're just like everybody else in our lack of perfection, and we're not terrible people, that we are pretty good people, and we encourage ourselves and we're mindful of when we start to belittle ourselves and kind of stop from doing that. Just by doing that, we can improve our health, our relationships, and an entire life. This will result in an adjustment of our whole attitude. Eckhart Tolle, the well-known author and speaker, wrote in his book, Stillness Speaks, "When you recognize that there is a voice in your head that pretends to be you and never stops speaking, you are awakening out of your unconscious identification with the stream of thinking. When you notice that voice, you realize that who you are is not that voice, but the one who is aware of it. Knowing yourself as the awareness behind that voice is freedom." So just because you think a thought doesn't make it true, and that thought is not who you are. We have all kinds of thoughts that come in and out of our head all day long. All day long. We have, I would say, millions of thoughts that come through our head. And most of the time, we don't spend enough time focused on them to even notice. We just, like, they're silly thoughts, and they're gone. But when we clutch onto a thought, then we start to believe it. So what makes that, you know, why is that thought any more valid than the thoughts that we didn't pay attention to? They really are not any more valid. It's just that we paid more attention to it. As Michael Neal, the author and also a guest on the show way back when we started this program, he wrote, "The voice inside your head is not the voice of God. It just sounds like it thinks it is." So here's what I pose to you. What would you say to your best friend if they came to you and told you some of the things that you said to yourself? You would probably be shocked and horrified at how terribly they talk about themselves. So this is a practice to actually start to talk to yourself in the way that you would talk to your best friend. And you might try having, you know, doing a little role play, imagining yourself sitting in another chair, your alter ego sitting in another chair, and actually speak to yourself out loud in a way that you would to if that person in that other chair was your best friend coming to you with a problem or something that's bothering them. Try talking to yourself like your best friend. And, you know, one way of getting more emotional distance from your thoughts so that you can be more aware of your thinking so that you can make that shift and say, hey, wait a second, that's kind of distorted thinking, or it's really mean, overly mean. One way of doing that is actually by practicing mindfulness meditation. When we can sit and just notice the thoughts as they come into our mind and not attach to them. Tell ourselves, oh, that's a thought about work, or that's a thought about how terrible I look, and just, I'll think about it later. After a while of doing this, we actually make a change in our brain where we become more aware of our own thinking, and we have an easier time disconnecting from the thought, so that we realize that we can actually challenge the thought. The thought isn't who we are or isn't the truth. It's just a thought. So I'm going to leave you with that. I think that that is a really important piece of having self-compassion. It's not just the taking care of ourselves physically and doing all the right things for ourselves health-wise, but it is also looking at the thoughts that we think and disconnecting from that inner troll, not letting it have so much power over us. All right, so on that note, we are going to go to Art Mendoza, who is the producer of this program and musician, and he is going to talk to us from this side of the microphone about some upcoming events here in Austin, Texas.
Hey, 6th Street, I need to get home to my bed. A damn this whiskey, I think that it's gone to my head. Hey, do you miss me? Do you even know who I am? It's been a long night and now I'm trying to fight a feeling that I get when I think of you. Need another drink to drown this blues. Take me to the river and wash my pain. Yes, and won't you make me feel? Won't you make me feel? Yeah, make me feel whole again.
And here's Art. Hey, Art.
Hello.
What's going on? What brings you to this side of our microphone?
I'm not on that side of the microphone. I'm on a different place altogether.
Okay. Well, you know what that means.
Well, what's happening is, you just heard a little bit of our next artist that will be on the 27th of this month, Joe James. And the reason I played him first is simply because it's what's happening in Austin. A lot of people are leaving large cities. He's from Los Angeles. And he's coming to Austin to be found, which is really unbelievable, because if you go back to L.A. and sign contracts in New York or any major city. But maybe Austin is getting up there equally as powerful as the attorneys are in those cities. And like I said, he'll be with us on the 27th when we're in the studio. And some of the things that are happening are tomorrow, I'm having an exam on my teeth. And,
okay.
So I don't know what that has to do with anything. But then afterwards, we're going to go to Chad Sarno's book signing and his release of his book. He's been doing several places. And it's going to be at the Beer Plant at 3110 Windsor Road. And it's a small brewery that also does all vegan foods and all plant-based foods. But it'll be happening on the 14th, which is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts around 5:00 in the evening. And then the big thing that's coming up that I really, I'm putting a lot of time into is the 8th year benefit for the Red Arena, which is located out in Dripping Springs. And this facility is pretty much for disabled children, whether it be autism or physical handicaps. They get to ride horses and walk with horses and have an incredible place that has 22 acres of beautiful, you know, landscape and horse trails. And that will be happening on June 1st and 2nd. And that's going to be out there at the Griffin Springs Ranch Arena, which is located across the street from the elementary school in on Highway 12, north of Griffin Springs. And that should be quite interesting because it's for 2 days, starting at 5 o'clock on Friday, and then again on Saturday all the way till around 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening. And so it should be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of auctions and free food and trails to walk around and little competitions and also showing the children that are on the horses and all. And again, like I said, I've been spending quite a bit of time getting ready for that. And so that's enough. Huh? What do you think?
All right. That's a lot.
All right.
It's gonna be summer in Austin. There's always festivals going on. Lots of
music
in Austin.
There's a lot of stuff going on all the time, but I thought those are the most important things at the moment.
Okay. All right.
So let's close it out and get out of here.
All right. So before you knock me off the air, let me tell everybody what's happening next week, okay?
All right.
All right. So next Sunday, May the 20th, we'll be back here in beautiful Austin, Texas, and I will be interviewing myself. I'm going to discuss my new book about to be launched this summer, The Passionate Life, Creating Vitality and Joy at Any Age, including what personal experiences led to writing the book and influenced the direction of the book as I wrote it. The writing of the book was a journey in itself, and a discussion of some of the topics. And I'm also going to talk about or give a retrospective of the guests who have been on this program throughout the 6.5 years, almost 6.5 years that we have been on the air, 4.5 right here on Blog Talk Radio and the 2 years before on local Austin radio. And several of those guests have really influenced my life in many ways, including my book, you know, and I do talk about several of the guests in the book, but just in general, in the direction that my life has taken, I have to attribute that to some of the amazing guests that have been on the show. So, this may just seem like a fun thing that I'm doing and you tune in every now and then, but the things that people say on this program are pretty powerful. And, I go back and listen to some of these because they really have influenced my life. I can tell you that personally. So I'm going to talk about that and also talk about some of the guests coming up that are scheduled to be on this program. And perhaps Art will play some music on that show. I'm sure they always have some music. So that'll be next week, and I hope you'll tune in here. And as always, if you're not available on Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, you can listen to the show later on podcast. And in fact, if you want to hear tonight's program again, and read the information from this show, get the website link that we discussed on the show that my guest gave earlier in the program. Learn about upcoming shows, listen to previous programs, blogs, etc. Go to my website, drmaracarpel.com. And also, be sure to follow me on Facebook for upcoming events, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years, and my book, Facebook page, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Carpel. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Your Golden Years. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions.
and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald Devere and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guest, Cindy Henson. And, of course, thank you to Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone, and happy Mother's Day.
Comes a time when you're all alone. Comes a time, gotta write that song. May not make any sense at all, but it's up to you to keep a smile on your face. Now I've been young mostly every day, just like you, don't you ever change. Cause this world's getting pretty old, and it's up to you to keep a smile on your face. Butterflies down, butterflies down, butterflies down. Now don't forget who wrote you this song. Cause there'll be times you'll feel all alone in this world. So Greg, don't forget this song is for Sarah, Renee, and you.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpell is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpell, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.